Today on The Journey.
I know it's hard to comprehend, but just try to for one second. The same powerful word that said, "Let there be light," and light appeared, is the same powerful word that is recorded here that speaks to us.
There's an old, old story of darkness pierced and deep emptiness filled. It's an account of perfection, beauty, and the power of a sovereign creator. It's the story of our God, and it's the story of us. Today, Ron Moore begins its telling, and in that telling, you'll find an answer to the deepest question of mankind. Also, along with today's message, we want you to have a copy of Ron's book, Ignite. In it, you'll discover a step-by-step spiritual journey that leads to a heart ignited by grace. It's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron to begin his series called God Speaks with the story From Chaos to Creation on The Journey.
Here's what I want to do. We want to tell the story of God by considering the familiar stories of the Old Testament. One person has said that God is like a novelist who tells his own story through his characters. Every personal story shows us how God works in everyday life. God begins his story in Genesis 1:1. And in this book, later written by Moses as told by God, God introduces himself with a summary statement. And the first thing that God wants us to know about himself is that he is the creator of all things. Here's the summary statement for Scripture, for God, and then also the summary statement for the first chapter, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, prior to the existence of any created thing, God existed. He was there. And he created all things. That word created there is a Hebrew word that only refers to God. It means to create things when nothing else is there. Man can build and man can form and man can make things from existing materials. But only God can create from nothing. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that's a figure of speech to say he created everything in the heavens, he created everything on the earth, and everything in between. He created all things. Now think of the last letter you wrote to someone to ask them for something or to introduce yourself to them. Dear Mr. So-and-so, I am, and then you usually say, this is my position or this is my responsibility, and you give some reason why they should read the rest of the letter. Well, here's what God has done to us. Genesis 1:1. God is saying, dear whoever you are, I am God, and I am the creator of all things. I am. Therefore, you are. The details follow. Look at verse 2. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. Something extraordinary and something miraculous, something almost unbelievable is going to take place. God is going to transform chaos, this formlessness, this emptiness, this darkness, into a beautiful and perfect creation. Look at verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. God said, let there be light, and what happened? There was light. God spoke the world into existence, and here we see the power, and we see the authority of his word when on day one, he created light. And he separated the darkness and part of the chaos from the light. And here he established a pattern that we still live by today. The Creator God began to work in 24-hour periods, in days. There was evening. There was morning. The first day. Look at verse 6. God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate the water from water. So God made the expanse, and he separated the water under the expanse from the water above it, and it was so. And God called the expanse sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. So on day two of creation, God just set a division between the clouds, between the expanse of the water above and the waters on earth below. And look in your Bibles and see at the end of verse 7, those four words, we kind of gloss by them in our English translation, and it was so. In Hebrew, this is a strong statement of establishment. It was so. Something that is not going to change. And just as on day one of creation, there was morning and evening, the first day, an established pattern, so we live by that same pattern today. Look at day 3, verse 9. God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so, established forever. And God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Look at verse 11. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seeds in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. So on day 3, God separated the water from the dry ground, and on that dry ground, on the land, he created seed-bearing vegetation. So the vegetation he created would begin a creation process or production process of its own. So day 3, the land, the sea, and the vegetation. And day 4, beginning in verse 14, it's interesting because we'll see that day 4 corresponds back to day 1. And then day 5 corresponds back to day 2. And then day 6 corresponds back to day 3. So let's look at day 4, chapter 1, verse 14. God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark the seasons and to mark the days and the years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky and give light to the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light to the earth, to govern the day and the night and separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. On day 1, God created the light, and he separated it from darkness. On day 4, he creates the governing lights, the sun and the moon and the stars. On day 2, God separated the waters above from the waters below, the clouds in the air, the seas on the ground. And now on day 5, he creates the birds of the air and the creatures of the sea. Look at verse 20. God said, let the waters teem with living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing which the waters teem according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And he blessed them, and he said, be fruitful, and increase in number, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. On day 3, God created the land and the sea, and he put vegetation on the ground. And now, correspondingly, on day 6, God creates the living things that are going to walk on the ground and inhabit that land. Look at verse 24 and 25. God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kind, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the wild animals according to their kind, and the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds, and God saw that it was good. Now let's slow down a little bit here in verse 26, because now we come to God's crowning creation. Look at verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along the earth." In verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Now, we talk a lot about being made in the image of God. And here we see that God personally makes man and makes man in his image. What does it mean to be made in the image of God? These things. First, as God is spirit, God gives man spiritual life. So part of being made in the image of God is spiritual life. God made man a moral being, knowing right from wrong. Certainly we need instruction, and certainly sin clouds now our understanding of right and wrong. But God made man a moral being. That's what it means to be made in the image of God. God gave man a conscience. And so man knows that there are certain things you do and there are certain things you don't do. God gave man the capacity to represent Him. In fact, that's what man became. We are here to glorify God. When God put His image into man, He gave man a divine purpose for life. And then God gave man the privilege of doing what He had done, of creating life, all under His control, but the reproduction. Look at verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it." Increase in number. Reproduce. And then God gave man in His image dominion, some rulership, some sovereignty, if you will, over the earth. Look at the end of verse 28. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. God gave man dominion and rulership over these things. So what does it mean to be made in the image of God? We have a spiritual life. We're a moral being. There's something in us put there by God that tells us right from wrong. There is a divine purpose for life that some people will search for their entire days on this earth. We have the capacity to rule over the things that God has created. Now, I'm not today going to get into the scientific proof for creation. I don't have time or expertise to do that. But there's a great book out, Case for the Creator, written by Lee Strobel. And one of the things that he makes clear there is that if God did not create, if evolution is true, if this thing just came about by chance, there's no evidence for God. If this thing came about by chance, there is no absolute foundation for right and wrong. And if this thing just came about by chance, there is no ultimate meaning for life. Man is made, created personally in the image of God. There's one more day, day 7. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work He had been doing. So on the seventh day, He rested from all His work. And God blessed the seventh day, and He made it holy, because on it He rested from the work of creating that He had done. The word rest has been discussed a lot in our day. It comes from the Hebrew word sabbat, and we get Sabbath from it. But it doesn't take on the meaning that sometimes we think of rest taking on. We think of rest as getting away from exhaustion. We're exhausted, so we need to lay down and rest. Obviously, God was not spent after the 6 days of creation. Not one ounce of His energy was depleted. He's God. So what does rest mean? Rest means the enjoyment of accomplishment. Rest means the celebration of completion. In chapter 2, verse 1, when God rested, it is as if God looking back and looking at all of it and celebrating what He had done, celebrating the completion of creation, celebrating the accomplishment of His Word, celebrating the beauty of His perfect creation. On the seventh day, God celebrated, God enjoyed His accomplishment. Now, the story of creation, you've heard a lot of times. What's the takeaway? Why would God include that in His Word? What would He want us to do today with the story of creation? Certainly believe it, but so what? What does that mean for us today? Let me give you four things. Number one, story of creation. In that story, God tells us of His sovereign rule over all. Now, you got to remember that Moses recorded the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. So we are in now the history of Israel when Moses writes these things. And if you were an Israelite in that time, you were surrounded by pagan nations. And the pagan nations worshipped the sun. And they worshipped the sea. And they worshipped the trees. All these things. But when they read about their God, what did they read? These pagan people, they worshiped the sun. Our God created the sun. These pagan people worship the sea. Our God created the sea. He is sovereign over all. And then they could make a very practical conclusion. If God made all those things and He is sovereign over all, what's the conclusion? He's sovereign over me. There is not one thing that happens in my life that He's not sovereign over, that He doesn't rule over. Now, the conclusion to that is we should worship that person, that being. And we're a little too sophisticated, like the pagans of the Israelite day, to bow down before Ra, the sun god. But there are things we bow down before, aren't there? Created things, like money, career, possessions. And so as a practical application in our life, we have to say, wait a second. God is a creator. He is sovereign over all. He even created all those things that I have today. If not for Him, I would have nothing. If He's a creator and sovereign, I have to worship Him, not these other things that are the created things. Here's the second one. In the story of creation, God wants us to see, and we do see, the power of His Word. Chapter 1, verse 3, and God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. In verse 6, God said, let there be an expanse between the water above and the water below. And what happened? There was an expanse. God spoke the world into existence. And so when the Israelites read the creation story, and then Moses gave them the law from God, what would they say? This is the same Word that spoke the world into existence. This is powerful. This is the same Word that said, let there be light, and there was light. And now He's speaking to us. This is powerful stuff. God's Word will change your life. And the blemish on the church, and maybe the blemish on some of your lives, is you don't read it. And if you don't read it, you will not experience the power and the transformation and the authority of God's Word. Number three in the creation story, God is reminding us that He brings order from chaos. In chapter 1, verse 2, we see the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. There was chaos. And God steps into this chaos, and He creates a perfect world. God's still in the business of taking chaos and creating order. Many of you know that. The chaos of brokenness. The chaos that comes by living in a world of sin. And it's only God who brings back the order. One more thing. In the story of creation, we see that God is a personal God. The entirety of creation was for us. The reason for the separation of light and the sun and the moon and the stars, the reason for the vegetation, the reason for the animals, was for the crowning creation, us. We'll see next that God, after He formed man, stooped down and breathed into man the breath of life. Personal touch with man himself. And that wasn't the last time God stooped down. After Genesis chapter 3, sin enters into the world. Chaos begins in the life of individuals. And so God stoops down again to bring order into the chaos of our hearts. Chapter 2, verse 5 of Philippians. Listen to these words. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped. But He made Himself nothing. He stooped down, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. In the story of creation, we see God's personal touch on man as He stoops down and breathes into man the breath of life. And then sin takes place. And so God, who loves man so much, who created all this for man, stoops down again and sends His Son to die for us on a cross. Humbled Himself, Jesus did. Came to this earth and gave His life for you and me. As God breathed into man life, then God gave His life so that we could live.
And please stay with us. Just ahead, Ron returns with a look at our next time together. First, a word about our offer of Ron's book, Ignite. In its pages, he leads you step by step on a spiritual journey to a heart ignited by grace. Along the way, he reveals God's purpose in your stresses, pain, and tough times. By matching today's struggles with King David's tomorrow,